for taking your time and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Gianni, I really would like to hear from you. First of all, if you could tell about your background. I know that you teach yoga, Pilates, dance. So it's at
Yeah.
the yeah. How you started? What's your background? How long you've been teaching? And after that, so we'll move to the next session.
Okay, well, I basically was very passionate about exercise as a young woman in my 20s. But my actual job was in the fashion industry, and I worked as a designer for some of the big companies up in London. And it was actually when I had my first baby and trying to juggle working full time and having a baby that I just thought there has to be a more pleasurable way of still having a job and interest for me, and having more time with my baby. And I kind of started to reflect about what I actually liked to do, what I enjoyed doing. And of course, that was dance and fitness and exercise. And I just thought, I'm going to go and train and do what I want to do and work the hours that I would choose to do and still have plenty of time with my baby. And that really is when I started to train. I trained when my first daughter was 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
And initially, I juggled work full time and a part time job as a fitness instructor. And I think really, probably within about a year, I had enough work part time to be able to give up my fashion industry job, which was sheer pleasure because it had ceased to become anything of something that I enjoyed anyway. And I was able to choose the hours I work. And it still is that way. I mean, I'm still able to take both my daughters to school, pick them up, and if I need time off to go to a assembly or a parents' evening, I can get my classes covered. So I'm very much my own
Fabulous.
boss.
Fabulous. That's fantastic. And you mentioned like within 1 year. I'd really like to hear how you managed. Because there's so many teachers that kind of seem to still struggle to fill out the
Yeah,
classes. So how did you manage yourself?
when I say a year, I would hate people to think that I was as successful within a year as I am now, because my
Sure.
business has catapulted in the last even 6 months and become busier than it's ever been. So in the first year, it was enough work to keep my overheads covered, and that's what I needed. So it was a very basic start in the industry. And in the early months, I was recruiting all of my friends and family to come to my classes. So it wasn't, that amazing start. But it was a lot of hard work. But I did a lot of research on marketing, and a lot of research on.
How did you research? How did you select your target market? That's quite interesting.
Basically, I kind of looked at what the fitness industry was doing in this area. And I think at the time, even now, I think, but at the time, very much so, the fitness industry was way behind the fashion industry in looking after people. So in the fashion industry, we had a very slick marketing campaign and a very, very professional way of marketing to people. And I looked at the fitness industry and thought, we're just nowhere near at this standard. We don't have the same attitude and the same professionalism in a way, towards looking after people and our sort of where we're going to get our customers from, as we did in the fashion industry. So I kind of drew the parallels of how we worked in the fashion industry and put those into the fitness industry and sort of looking after people. Identifying your typical client was one of the things that I did. So kind of actually giving that person a name and where they shop, the things that they like to do, where they look for classes and what they're looking for from a class. So that I actually had an identification to my customer.
Wow, that's fabulous. And I just love the idea that, I always want to think that if something like some sort of model works in kind of one industry, you
Yeah,
can duplicate, right? So you can
absolutely.
that so that's what you did. Like you just took the
Yes.
model and applied to your business.
Yes.
Fabulous. You immediately started to be your own boss, so you didn't work for the gyms, or it's not how you started.
No, actually, initially, I literally did have my own classes, and I often say that I had this vision. I mean, it was very, very basic and humble beginnings. I had some very grotty village halls that I was working from that were really quite unpleasant, really. I had this vision when I was going to these classes. I kept visualizing My dream was that I'd have one class and then people would be queuing up to do the follow-on class. And that was my vision that I had from then. And now that's a reality, which is lovely, really, because at the time I didn't consciously think about it being a constant visualization, but it was my mantra that I wanted that kind of level of support for the classes. But yeah, and within about 6 months of working for myself, I did start to approach clubs, but that was simply because I wanted to have a reference, because obviously, in essence, anybody can go and set up a class on their own. And okay, they need the people to come to actually be able to pay the overheads. But I wanted someone to say, yes, this person is professional. Yes, they turn up on time. Yes, they commit to the classes outside of my own company. So I chose to work for clubs really for the networking, and also to have a professional reference to have.
That's yeah, it's a great way to do. Especially like so what would you say? There are a lot of well, yoga teachers that I personally speak to, and they don't have yet their classes, and they work for either another studio or gym, etc. But I always say that your best clients will probably come from that place. So yes, maybe you're working from gym, etc., but you should be seeing that as an opportunity for your business. Is
Absolutely.
that how you
Yeah, I mean, it's very much that way. I mean, often you will find people that come to the clubs, and eventually, what happens with me a great deal is that someone's only coming to that club for my classes. And then they kind of think, actually, I'm paying this monthly membership and I'm actually only attending Joni's classes. And then they'll approach me and say, I've heard that you do classes in the community, and I give them the website details. And I mean, there are people that come to clubs and stay with the clubs, but there are also a percentage that will move with you into a community class, most definitely.
Sure, yeah, that's personally what I did. I used to be a gym member, and then I used to go to the yoga class a lot, and then eventually I moved to the yoga center. Yeah, so that's so did you like just to did you like initially in the beginning sort of started like to have a proper website, etc., or was it something that was
No,
it essential or
I don't. The internet was a very early stage. I mean, I started my company 14 years ago, and then the internet didn't have the impact on the industry. I think I set up my first very basic website probably 6 years into my company, and that was a kind of one website for everything. But in the last year or so, I've actually set up 40 websites, and that really has
40,
been
40. Oh my God.
So I learned to build websites. I learned to be able to sort of input and update those on a daily basis, and they generate a massive amount of interest. In fact, I would say that now they're
Can
really
I ask a question? Sorry, I need to go back to that 40 websites. So 40 websites, are they like specifically for, yoga, Zumba, and they're all about, and they all kind of, you just drive traffic to your classes through those 40 websites.
And I have
Fabulous.
specialisms. For instance, I have several websites that are back pain management, back pain health.
Yes.
I've got about six websites that go along those domain names. And then with the yoga, I've got it at companies like Essex Yoga, Yoga with Joni, Yoga for Beginners in Essex. So I cover all of those keywords so that, if people search for those keywords on the internet, they
There's
come
no
through
other
to
choice.
me. I don't think I've quite flooded the market, but I'm doing a good job.
Fabulous, fantastic. And did you do that yourself, or you've been outsourcing all these tasks, or?
No, I do that all myself.
Wow. Fabulous. So, okay, so you managed to build websites, and you managed to pack your classes, and the most importantly, take your daughters out and spend
Yes,
time.
yeah.
Fabulous, fantastic. Okay, and then obviously, it's grown, and you just mentioned that your classes started to really, they really took off in the last 6 months, etc. Was it a particular, reason why it happened? Like, maybe some other strategy or
I, do you know, I, there are a couple of things that have happened. First of all, I started to train with Zumba, and the Zumba has got, again, a very slick marketing department, and they market ruthlessly. And obviously what happens for me is people come to a Zumba class and then see, oh, you do yoga.
Yeah.
Ah, and then obviously that feeds into the other classes. So that's had a massive impact on the other classes. But I also, what I do with all of my classes is I always take down people's email addresses, mobile phone numbers, and postal addresses. And I keep in touch with all of my class members regularly. So every quarter I send out a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Every month I send out an email newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are any changes or updates in classes, people are updated by mobile. So I don't hassle people relentlessly with mobile phones,
mm-hmm.
but I do kind of say to people, we're doing a brand new set of postures this evening, you know, and I always give people the option that if they can't come, please say, you know, if you don't want to receive these text messages, please say stop, and I do stop them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to think that I'm sort of, you know, hassling people relentlessly with messages, because that's not the case. I give people the power to say yes or no. But I also give them ownership. So it's very much the language that I will use is, your yoga class this evening is going to have three new postures for you to try.
Mm.
So the whole psychology behind it is that it's their class and their opportunity to learn some new poses that evening. And that all works, you know. And then people come back to you and sometimes they say, well, sorry, I can't make it, but please keep my place for next week. But the majority, you know, as I've said, you know, are very, very regular, and I get a great level of support.
I'm so pleased that you mentioned that, because that's something I also wanted to ask. One of the challenges that many people have, and it's a resistance to, I don't want to send emails or I don't want to send texts, etc., because I don't want to annoy people. But it seems like, you know, if we are just, as you mentioned, the psychology behind that, it's your class and it's your benefit, and
yeah,
you know, you're just summarizing, then it's okay, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, I think that there does have to be a sensitivity to it, so I don't bombard people every single week. But there are other times when it's generally important that I have their numbers, because sometimes a venue is closed. You know, there's an occasion when perhaps I have problems getting to a class and I'm either held up. So there are actual practical reasons why I'm in contact with all of my people by mobile phone as well.
Yeah.
But obviously there are marketing benefits as well. So it's a kind of double thing. But I mean, I've often had people say to me, I'm so glad you texted me, you know, because I'd forgotten all about my class this evening and you reminded me. And I've I can honestly say, hand on heart, I've never had someone say to me, will you please stop texting me about classes, unless they're not coming back to classes anymore, which of course is completely understandable.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And it's also, yoga, dance, Pilates, it's such a, like if you're just, for instance, marketing online, it's very difficult for people to see who you are, what you do, because they can't see you or touch you, feel you, but it's very personal. And I mean, you either like the teacher or you don't. So that kind of ice is broken, right? So it's,
yeah, absolutely.
And you capture, I saw a couple of your websites, and you also captured the people's name and the email addresses from your website.
And that's something else I've set up with all the websites, and it was something that I was taught when I was building the websites, is really you do want to build your database. I have to say, when I originally set up the websites, my intention was for them to generate a passive income, because obviously I'm already teaching 25 classes a week, so physically I'm at absolute maximum for what I could do with my body. And the idea for the websites was that they would start to sell products. I actually have failed that abysmally, because all I have managed to sell is myself. So that's something I need to look at, because at the moment it's generated a massive amount of interest in classes, which is great, but I'm not actually very good at the passive income side of things. I'm not actually selling any products off the websites, so obviously any income that I make from my websites has to come from me physically working. Long term, I would like that to be different, and that's one of the reasons why I've got the capture on there, to sort of generate the email addresses and get that list up and running.
That's such a wonderful idea. I mean, I love this passive income, because there is a limit how many classes you can teach, and therefore there is a limit how much also money you can generate. So for that matter, and I also, well, obviously I noticed that's how I got to know you through Facebook. So you also are very active on Facebook. And how does this help you in your marketing and to...
I think again, it was something that that I've gone on a sort of an email course or an internet-based course on the importance of social networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much changed my social networking to be pretty much purely professional.
Yeah.
Because I could look at that and see this is a completely free way of raising my profile. And yeah. I think alongside that came along the introduction of the Zumba. And the Zumba, the way that they market Zumba to the teachers is that we are a Zumba family.
Mm-hmm.
So they very much encourage us to network with each other. And I thought, well, this is a great way of not only getting lots of information from internationally from other teachers, but yeah. raising my profile. So I constantly make comments about people, you know, constructive comments about people on Facebook so that I'm mm-hmm. seen. And obviously my name includes a picture of me. So when I'm posting on other people's walls, other yeah. people obviously see that. Mm-hmm. And it's just increased my profile enormously. So, and again, I will often get email addresses and things from people simply because they've seen, oh, I've seen about you on Facebook from a friend
mm-hmm.
and now want to come to the classes. So again, that's generated a lot of interest yeah. in the classes.
And you do that quite, you know, consistently and on a daily basis and you're
yes.
quite consistent. Yeah. And yeah. Do you say that it takes a lot of time from you or
I'm quite disciplined with it actually because it's one of these things I'm sure you know and other people would know that you could be on there all day and not realize really so it's very addictive but I tend to set aside an hour in the morning and an mm-hmm. hour in the afternoon when I answer emails and I update my Facebook profile and I always do it twice a day or I try to always do it twice a day
mm-hmm.
and I try to answer all my email inquiries whether it be on Facebook or through the websites within 48 hours so that's kind of my maximum that I would leave an inquiry.
Yeah.
But yes, I try to discipline myself to just an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fabulous. And do you also use Facebook groups or just the profile that you're
using? I do. I do have Facebook groups, but to be honest, I'm not really using those effectively as I could. There is something that's kind of on my list of things to kind of sort of drill down and do a little bit more work with, be more proactive. So they are there.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I haven't really scratched the surface with that. And I mean, all of my newsletters that now go out to all of my class members say, join me on Facebook. So
yeah.
I'm constantly sort of reiterating that profile as well and getting people to join me on there. Because again,
yeah.
I think it kind of makes people warm to you as a personality. So
sure.
rather than you just being a teacher at the front of the class, especially in big classes,
mm-hmm.
It kind of gives people a kind of a link to you, a bond with you that you perhaps might not have otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I find Facebook, I mean, if I need to check out somebody's profile or what they do, I just go to the Facebook because
yes.
I feel it's almost impossible to hide what kind of personality you have on
yes.
the Facebook. Well, that's how I want to think anyways. Okay, fabulous. I just wanted to ask you if you were to give advice to someone who now is probably new to the market, whether it's yoga, Pilates, or any other, or even dance instructor, what advice would you give for them to start to filling out their classes? What would be your, say, I don't know, top...
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of things I would say. The first thing is to give it some time. So, I mean, one of the things I'm quite aware of from speaking to other instructors that I talk to on Facebook mm-hmm. is that, you know, there I am posting about these massive numbers in my classes and there are people that are struggling to make numbers. And I'm very pro talking to other teachers and saying, what are you doing? Can
yeah.
I help? And I've done quite a lot of that recently.
Mm.
But I think be patient, you know, and give a class a good period of time to set up because it sometimes can take a few weeks and a lot of patience to get that going. And it is very disheartening and it's hard work when you've got a few people and you've put in your heart and soul to a class. So,
yeah.
But what I would say is if within roughly 2 to 3 months you're just not picking up the numbers, It probably is just something to do with either bad location, bad timing. There might be a really good class somebody else is offering at the time. And don't take it personally, because a lot of teachers, we're giving ourselves when we're teaching, and it's very easy to think I'm rubbish. It's because I'm rubbish that no one's coming. And that very, very rarely is the case. It purely is a case of, the class being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So if it doesn't pick up after about 3 months, I would say move on, find another area, and you'll probably find that you'll go from, it will go massive for you. But it does need a period of time, but obviously a sensible period of time, and not to take things personally if it doesn't take off.
Sure. Okay, that's really great and very motivating advice. And one thing I really want to ask is because that's a comment that I constantly hear is that I hate marketing and I don't want to market and I just want to teach and I want to forget like marketing side. What would you say about that?
It's something that's really, I think it's also very sensitive in the yoga industry, perhaps more
Sure.
so than the fitness industry, because there's that spiritual side to things. People are kind of like, well, you shouldn't be in it for the money. And I think, and my yoga teacher actually was very philosophical about this. And by his own admission, he's not somebody that's comfortable in marketing. However, he said at the end of the day, this is your job, and you need to pay your bills. And you are not going to develop or build your classes if you don't market. So, you have to be realistic about your classes and about where you want to go and how much money you need to earn. And for most people, that will need an element of marketing. And there is nothing wrong with doing that, as long as you are sensitive to people and you show sensitivity, and obviously respect their privacy as well. And he often quoted to me some of the very big, very high profile yoga instructors that we have in the world, and obviously they market relentlessly,
Course.
and they're very good at what they do, and they have an enormous amount of respect. So I think it should be not something that we struggle with, because it shouldn't conflict with spirituality, and it shouldn't conflict with any of our kind of goals and our motivations, because it should be something that we can do with a clear conscience, because it is purely a business. And whether your business is based in a spiritual world, or whether it's in a fitness or a highly commercial world, we still need to market to generate income.
Yeah, and another thing that I'd just like to add is also one side is obviously making money and it's necessary to pay bills, etc. But on the other hand, it's also I always say I like to think that you cannot just by accident become a yoga teacher, like
No,
I became
absolutely
financial whatever
not.
analyst at some point in my life accidentally. But so you probably love to teach and share the gift of yoga that you have, and
Absolutely.
even if you want to do that for charity, you still need to be able to communicate to people and to teach
Yes.
people, right? So it has that element that okay, there is one thing to make money, which is very important, and the other side of it that you can benefit to more people and touch
Yeah,
people's heart.
absolutely. And I think if anyone's struggling with their conscience, I think from my own personal perspective, you only need to look at a class when they come out after having been in your class for an hour or however long you teach for, to know that what you're doing is making a positive impact on people's lives as well. So, I mean, for me, I just think that there isn't a better job to do, because what we do actually makes positive influences on people's lives. So
Sure.
it's not like you're trying to sell someone some dodgy sort of double glazing or something. What we're selling and what we're promoting for whatever amount of profit is something that's going to make a positive impact on that person's life.
Sure. Yeah, that's fabulous. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm sure that was so inspirational, and I'm sure any yoga teacher, instructor, or Pilates instructor, they will find very, very helpful and very useful. Really, really appreciated that. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Well, actually, I'm in the process of setting up my own website as Joni St. Clair. I've bought the domain,
Okay.
but in the meantime, Essex Yoga Classes is the website, essexyogaclasses.co.uk, or just Joni St. Clair at AOL.com is my email address.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks very much again, and I wish you a happy day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Take care.